So it is said that progress in spiritual life and progress in material life has inverse relationship. If it is true, then in Grihastha Ashram, what should be considered as minimum aspirations in material life, as there is endless aspiration and social expectations? Is there any possibility of simultaneous progress in both the aspects? See, the material and spiritual life, we have to understand that for the purpose of making sure that we give adequate time for sadhana, we should separate. Okay, I need to go to a temple, I need to chant japa, I need to associate with devotees. So for that purpose, we can separate. This is material, this is spiritual. But after we have done that, you should know that if Krishna is the goal of our life, then from that ultimate purpose point of view, everything is spiritual. So Krishna also says, yataha pravrittir bhutanam yena sarvamidam tatam swakarmana tam abhyarcha siddhim vindati manavah. That worship him through your work. Swakarmana tam abhyarcha. By your work, worship him. So, some people translated this as work is worship. But actually, if work is worship, then the donkey is the greatest worshipper. So work itself is not worship, but Krishna says by our work we can worship him. And he uses the first two lines of this verse are what? Yataha pravrittir bhutanam yena sarvamidam tatam. He who is the source of everything and by whom the whole world is pervaded. That means Krishna is giving these two lines before this swakarmanatam abhyarcha. This is 18.47 in the Bhagavad Gita, 18.46. Why is he giving this? To give us this vision that we shouldn't fragment the world from Krishna. This world is connected with him. And what we do in this world can also be done in a mood of service. Now, Krishna has given us certain talents. Krishna has given us certain resources. Krishna has given us certain positions in society. And they are all meant to be used in his service. Now, sometimes some talents can be directly used in Krishna's service. You know, we may become preachers. We may do deity worship. We may do very counseling, mentoring. But apart from that, we have a profession. And now, whatever we are doing, if we do it in the mood of service for Krishna, we can and should excel in that. So it is not that material progress and spiritual progress are inversely proportional. That is not essentially true. What is true is sense gratification and spiritual growth do not go together. But when you talk about material progress and sense gratification are not necessarily equal. Now, if a devotee is in a particular career and the devotee grows in that career, that is not necessarily pratikul to bhakti. Only the growth in career means that the devotee has to spend so much time in the career that there is no time left for spiritual life. Or for growing in that career, the devotee has to do some anti-devotional activities, give up some devotional principles, and that is unfavorable. But if by doing our profession well, using our God-given talents, if we excel in our profession, we shouldn't think that that is against the principles of bhakti. Put it another way. Suppose some person is very wealthy and that person becomes a devotee. Now, because they are very wealthy, or not just wealthy, they may be influential in some other way. They may be in a big post in some company or some government. If some person is influential in some way and if they become a devotee, then what influence they have, that can be used in Krishna's service. So, if a person after becoming a devotee becomes influential, so, if a person acquires influence before they became devotee, that can be used in Krishna's service. But if a person becomes a devotee, after that the influence they get, can't they be used in Krishna's service? That can also be used. So, the problem is not material progress per se. The problem is material progress that comes at the expense of spiritual progress. But it is not that all material progress has to come at the expense of spiritual progress. In fact, what I have seen when I was in college, that many devotee students, now, after they become devotees, initially their academic performance sometimes goes down because they start thinking, oh, this is all material, this is all maya. Mm-hmm. But if they get proper understanding, then actually quite often their academic performance improves because they realize that they don't waste so much time which other people waste in gossip and chit-chat and so many things. And all the bhakti takes a lot of time is also saved and they can actually work more productively. So, it is material progress and spiritual progress, they can go together. And rather than seeing material and progress, it is not that at every moment a devotee has to be analyzing, is this material, is this spiritual? You know, it is, we focus on serving Krishna. Now suppose there is a class, and in the class there is a joke. You think, hey, am I laughing for Krishna's pleasure or my pleasure? You know, if everybody starts thinking like that, there will be, what will happen is that the speaker will start crying. You know, I'm making a joke, nobody is laughing. So, it is not that we have to constantly be analyzing. We make sure that we have adequate time for our spiritual life. But apart from that, whatever we are doing, we do it with a spiritual intention. Now, if we start thinking, no, this is material. No, we will unnecessarily dishearten ourselves. Because if we are involved in some activity, if we are going to do it, we need to do it well. If we have family responsibilities, start thinking, no, this is material, this is not spiritual. Then we will dishearten ourselves unnecessarily. There is no need for that. You know, even if our family members are not devotees, still by doing our family responsibilities, we can be acting in a mood of devotion. So, they may not be devotees, but still doing our family responsibilities can also be devotional service. If we are doing it in the mood of devotion. If our family members are not devotees, but if we do our family responsibilities well, and then our family members see, hey, because of his or her bhakti, you know, they become better people. That attracts them towards Krishna. And if anything that attracts people towards Krishna, that is anukul to bhakti. So we don't have to constantly divorce between the two. Now regarding how much can we progress in material life, that is something which has to be individually decided. Nobody can mandate that. But in principle, we shouldn't equate this material progress as antithetical to spiritual progress. But it is true that when one starts pursuing a lot of wealth, a lot of position, a lot of fame, and that may consume one's time and thought and energy so much that one may not have time for spiritual life. So if we make a plan that, okay, this much time I am going to give my spiritual life, this much I am going to do in my spiritual life, and after that, remaining whatever time, I don't have to be half-hearted, oh, this is material. No, if I am going to give time in that, just give it wholeheartedly. Now what we are is Krishna's gift to us. What we become is our gift to Krishna. What we are, you know, all the talents that we have, whatever resources we have, it all is Krishna's gift to us. And what we become by that, become not just as devotees, but even our material life. If we get position, if we get power, if we get fame, if we get wealth, we can see that this is my gift to Krishna, so that I can use it in Krishna's service. We see, if we look back at the ancient culture of India, now it was developed materially also. Sanskrit, as a language, it is a grammar is a very evolved language. Its grammar is quite intricate. And it enables one to communicate subtle concepts in a very attractive way. But for doing all that, all our acharyas, they learned Sanskrit. It is not that just because they were acharyas, they are born talking Sanskrit. No, they all put time learning Sanskrit. So why? Because it's a tool for serving Krishna. So whatever is required, we can use it. One of my devotee friends has done his PhD in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he showed me a book. You know, that is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, like students nowadays memorize English words for GRE or TOEFL. So that was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's English vocabulary book. You know, he was memorizing English words. Of course, his English vocabulary was quite extraordinary. But the point is, he learned it. It was not that he was born with it. So we don't have to divorce things as material and spiritual. We need to separate so that we give adequate time for spiritual life. But afterwards, we can just direct everything in the service of Krishna. And yes, there can be endless aspirations. So over time, there is organic renunciation that comes. Organic renunciation means, as we keep pursuing material life, at a particular time, we start realizing this is really not worth it. So if we are forcibly deprived from something, then always there will be that, hey, maybe I could have achieved more, maybe I could have achieved more, maybe I could have achieved more. So, if we have certain talents, if we have certain abilities and we feel like achieving something, we make a commitment to practice some level of spiritual life, a serious level of spiritual life. And after that, we can use our energies for pursuing material life. And gradually, we ourselves will, by practicing spiritual life steadily, we ourselves realize this much is enough. There is no end to this, let me end this. Or let me put a cap at this and focus on Krishna. So this is something which we shouldn't be judging others for that. You know, we should be focusing on how we can learn ourselves and how others will develop that in their relationship with Krishna. So what is a quota for whom? You know, tena tektena bhunjita maagruda kasya siddhanam iti says. But what is the quota for whom? That will be different from people to person to person. For example, somebody has always been living in a rural background. They have thatched hut and they live very simply. They don't even have running water. Now, they may be satisfied in that. But suppose we have lived all around in a city and then we are told to live over there. That will be very difficult for us. So just as we easily understand that in the rural urban background, what is a natural thing for us may be different from what is natural for them. So like that, all of us come from different cultural backgrounds. We come from different financial levels. Come from different intellectual dispositions, different levels of intellectual disposition. So what is our quota? That is something we have to decide. It's just like food. You know, we may, you know, if we start, hey, you eat so much and I eat so little. No, what I need I eat, what you need you eat. And we all, when we are eating, we all go through that experiment. Sometimes we eat too little, more often we eat too much. But afterwards we also learn. We say, hey, no, this is, I ate so much and then after eating, instead of gaining energy, I lost energy. So then I would eat so much. But just as nobody has to mandate for us, and now this you should eat this much and you should not eat this much. Similarly, regarding our material aspirations, as long as you are practicing bhakti, as long as somebody is taking prasad, we don't have to bother how much they are eating. They will themselves learn on their own. So like that, as long as one is practicing basic spiritual life, then what level they want to go at in the material life, we leave it to them. And as far as we are concerned, now we should not have a constant nagging sense of dissatisfaction in material life. Material life, we will never be satisfied. But as we keep practicing material life and keep pursuing our material life and keep pursuing our spiritual life, gradually we become detached from material life, not because it is, there can be detachment which can come because of frustration. I wanted to achieve it, but I can't achieve it. Like one time when I was in Pune, one young man came, he had never come to the temple. He said, I'm thinking of becoming a monk next month. He says, why next month? He says, I have proposed to a girl and she's going to answer next month. If she says no, I'll become a monk. Now, you know, frustration is no foundation for renunciation. Frustration may initially turn us towards bhakti, but we need positive attraction towards Krishna to be able to sustain ourselves in renunciation. So by our practice of bhakti, if we ourselves realize, hey, this spiritual life is so nice. So if I am renouncing material life because it is too troublesome, because it is too difficult to achieve, or because others are telling me don't go in that direction, we will always have some nagging hope that maybe I will go there and I will enjoy more. But if you are practicing spiritual life seriously, we will get higher taste in spiritual life. And we will ourselves feel, I put in so much effort in material life and I get some pleasure but so little. I put in some effort in spiritual life and there is so much satisfaction here. So why not invest my energy more in this? So others can inspire us, but this is a decision which we have to individually take. And we can take it just as the way we decide by experiment, how much we eat. Like that, we can decide how much we want to pursue material life. But we should never, for the sake of material life, give up our basic practice of spiritual life. That should always go on. And beyond that, as we become organically detached, we can increase our spiritual practices more and more.